selling of these minis right now. The Dow Jones is beating the NASDAQ 100. And losses are greater than 1%. We're seeing a rally of each to hit nearing $1,549 gain. Futures on the Nikkei declined in the cash market for the gas there about 200 points just when we opened at the top of the hour. Right now in Sydney, ASX 200 weaker by about 0.7, up 1%. Now we've got positive developments happening on the North Korea situation. The won against the dollar during the news recession was actually up about 0.6%, but it was fair. The dollar each time weakened. We got the consumer dollar spot index number actually down during the year trading by about 0.4% to about 9%. U.S. 10-year treasury last week was the new record value of 2.88. The yield 10-year trading on the left side of the top yield. Yield to the grade 5 going to grade 5. 2.78 is still a strategic on the bottom level yield. And Baxter is the number of dollars. City program is sponsored by the mortgage. They end up at the Bloomberg area on the hand. Has moved something across our terminal saying that President Moon, South Korean President Moon's security advisor will head to the U.S. tomorrow. So the delegation will be coming to the United States. This goes along with North Korea's Kim Jong-un now expressing our willingness to talk about nuclear weapons with the U.S. President Trump responded this would go either way, but it's very hopeful. And South Korean President Moon also will meet with Kim next month. U.S. Commission says violence continues here. U.N., I should say, Commission says violence against Rohingyas in Myanmar can't be large genocide. After the suspected poisoning of a Russian dissident over the weekend in Western England, Britain is considering tougher sanctions if the Kremlin is found to have played a role. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter. This is Bloomberg Bright City.
All right, thanks very much, Ed. I've got more stories here in the media. But interesting.
KGWI.
Dow Jones says that Qualcomm and Huawei are simply in talks to settle their patent dispute, and that the dispute could reach resolution soon. But the Shanghai Security News, the issuance of Chinese depository receipts is a better way than IPOs for overseas listed Chinese
foundation
companies domestic pressure. And this is something that
don't forget to do that from perspective.
Now,
here's Gary.
From the Wall Street Journal, Shale Trailblazer sounds alert. That's the headline. It's an interview with Mark Papa, former CEO of ELG Resources. And he says that the market seems to think that shale producers can quickly ramp up production and then sustain it. He says this is very wrong. He says future supply might be more constrained than what you think. His main point is that shale is not the big bad wolf in global supply swamping markets that people think it is, and that it will not be able to perpetually improve prices as a result. Here's another one, and this one comes from Cai Jian. Magazine in China, the media is set to start food delivery services in 9 cities in China. So that is a direct competition with another one on May 20th. And finally, I've got this one from the Securities Journal in China. Sorry for the heavy China today. The China Federal New Loans may fall below $1 trillion. So this is a story getting into how it may have decreased the debt due to this proposed policy. And that's a little bit of a rich team.
That's right, Mr. Dean. So, you know, this thing involves a joke about debt clock. It was like the investment research in medicine. And that, thank you very much indeed for joining us. I guess the reference question has to be, what about this morning, 7 minutes?
How brilliant do we look having debt clock on debt?
Good morning, everybody. Yes, it's a very interesting time. There's lots of news coming out of the way. I guess markets initially thought that Donald Trump would not be making these moves. I think the markets are sort of becoming a bit savvy the last couple of days. But obviously, with Gary Kovari this morning, the risks are that we are going to have these tariffs put on U.S. imports of steel and aluminium. And that is likely to create uncertainty for markets. Markets are still rich valuations, and markets don't like uncertainty. So my guess is we're in for a challenging few days on this.
Political risk always impacts markets. It always crosses over with economic risk. Is there any reason to suppose that now that it could be more acute now, or is this something that we always have to be careful about?
I think we've always got to be careful. Russia's had, actually, interestingly, we've had fragmentation as one of our key themes for the last 2 years, and that's very much about the heightened political uncertainty and the type of environment we're living in. We've seen it in the elections of last year in
serious as the being decided. Maybe even in speech to their head and sizes. Maybe it's not really. And then the market's forged ahead. So is this a reality check or does it go deep to you?
I think this time it actually goes a little bit deep. If you think about it, we talked about it last year as well. A lot of rhetoric about it last year, nothing happened. And actually, you know, what we've seen is that economies are growing steadily. Economies are growing well. So this is kind of slightly, I think, more volatile with the new news. Suddenly becoming very, he's sort of stuck his heels in and really wants to get this done. And up until I said that yesterday, people thought that he could perhaps be persuaded not to do this. And again, maybe there's some rhetoric around him not doing it now, but it does seem as if he's stuck his heels in and really wants to do it. But the implications for the US economy are going to be probably very negative for the other industries that use animal meats, and also for those that make pickup trucks to can soup. It's going to be negative for those companies and likely to be inflationary, which I'm not sure he really wants to achieve.
Will investors start to worry that the Trump White House had set up a cabinet of people surrounding the president that they could unravel this?
I think that is a genuine concern. But I think probably people have thought that for the last 12 months. And I think if you look at markets have been painted with three that are uncertainty. And look at the growth that's actually happening in markets. Companies are doing well. Companies have cash. Investors have cash. Investors want to invest that money somewhere. People are cautious about bonds in a rising interest rate environment. So they've been looking at equities as a relatively attractive place to invest. Now, I think if the US White House looks as if it might unravel, that is going to create uncertainty. And markets are not like that uncertainty. But we feel there probably are enough investors looking to buy if markets pull back significantly.
There is a lot of cash on the sidelines, I said. There's a lot of evidence of that, too.
Yeah, a lot of cash waiting to invest.
So, Steve, let's change the focus a little bit to China, because we have a lot of changes coming with the realignment of financial institutions in China. And obviously, the abolition of the term limits for the president and the vice president. So is that something that you expect that could pose dangers or opportunities?
I think our view is that it probably creates more opportunities than dangers. I mean, China seems to be trying to perhaps, in the light of what's happening in the White House, establish itself as something of a global leader, I guess. We're seeing Xi Jinping actually wanting to perhaps create an environment where you have a more stable environment, as a result of deficit, reducing debts, overhauling infrastructure, etc. So there is this view that actually they are wanting to be seen as more central mainstream. And I think it's probably more like an opportunity than it is risk. Risk of a cyclical rise in inflation, globalization appears